Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone back with us this evening. We need to continue praying that David would get better and for Jim and Joyce's safe travels and for the others that are unable to be with us today. There are many things that this congregation should be commended for, and one of them is whatever number we have here on the morning is here in the evening, or a couple more. And a lot of places, it's not that way. So, that is something that you're to be commended for. We have been starting the beginning of the year, some more verses to memorize. Last week, both of the lessons dealt with joy. These passages that we looked at last Sunday morning, on this slide, the passages in the evening, again, with joy and how trials fit into our joy to make us more mature and we can rejoice in Christ. This evening, I want us to look at several that deal with being filled with the Spirit. We're going to look at two main sections of passages from Ephesians and Galatians. And on the sheets, when we have those, they'll be separated, but if you memorize them as a section, I think it'll be better to do it that way. And there's a lot of misunderstanding and false teaching about the Holy Spirit's role in the Christian's life. However, when you look at the Bible and you look in context, some of it is so plain and simple to understand. That's what I want us to focus on tonight. So let's start in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to begin reading at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. He says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I have a question I want us to consider this evening. Are we filled with the Spirit, or are we running on empty? I'm going to use this gauge on several different of the slides up here. One of the other things before we get into that, I want to mention just very briefly an overview of the Holy Spirit and the different manifestations of it. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have the spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. It mentions them, how they were gotten, how they were transferred. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 38 and 39. And we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is where we are going to be focusing this evening, on how the Holy Spirit is within us. When you look at this phrase, this verse, though, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we talk about people getting a DUI, driving under the influence, or being under the influence as it relates to being intoxicated, with alcohol, being drunk. And it's interesting that the Bible uses this parallel along with the Holy Spirit. This is the third time the New Testament mentions this parallel. We read in Luke 1:15 that John the Baptist, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So he's not going to be filled with alcohol. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time he's in his mother's womb. We come to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And what did the people say? Look, they're full of new wine. And what was the reply? They were not full of new wine, but they were full of the Spirit. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit, Acts 2, 13 through 17 in that section. And then here we have in Ephesians 5, where it makes a contrast to being filled with wine and being filled with the Spirit. So one of the takeaways from that, just like we are able to recognize somebody that is under the influence of a worldly substance, people should realize if we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What is this, living under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Paul goes on to explain this. And he mentions three things in this passage, singing, praying, and submission. And these are three gauges that we can look to tell if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. In this passage, 18 through 20, this is one of Paul's definitive statements about being filled with the Spirit. In the upper room discourses in John 13 through 17, Jesus explained that he had to leave, return to heaven, but he would send another comforter. He would send that comforter after he ascended into heaven. When did that spirit come? It came on the day of Pentecost, as described in Acts chapter 2. How do we know that it came then? He said it would come with power. It came with power with the manifestations of the miracles, the things that were both seen and heard. But when we read here in Ephesians chapter 5, one of the first manifestations of being filled with the Spirit, a natural byproduct, it's going to be a song in our heart. Notice the unbroken nature of this passage. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord in your hearts. We're to sing. We're to sing to one another. As Christians being filled with the Spirit, we should be a singing people. And why do we sing? Is it for entertainment? No. It's to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're speaking, making melody in our hearts. We do it with our voices, with our hearts. We're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we have a singing heart. It's what's going to come out of us is what's in us. And again, you see that person that's intoxicated with something from a bottle, and you can tell that they're intoxicated, they're under the influence of something. Now, have you ever seen a person through the day, or some people, they're just this way all the time, they're singing. They're always happy. And what do you want to do? You want to ask them, what are you so happy about? Some of them may not be filled with the Spirit, but as Christians, and especially when we think about last week, with the joy that we have, we shouldn't keep that joy bottled up in us. It should be manifested. Four times the New Testament tells us that in some sense the Holy Spirit represents the presence of Jesus himself by the Spirit. And that's not the slide. I'll come to that one here in a minute. Acts 16:7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Philippians 1:19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So we have Christ in us as the Spirit has revealed to us the will of Christ and what we are to do, we were talking this morning about having Christ formed in our bodies, in our lives. It comes from the Word. And one of the manifestations of that, we should go on our way singing. We've got a song in our heart. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be giving thanks. We should be praying. We should be the most thankful people that there are. Thanking God. Again, not for a certain situation that we might not like that we are in. Not for the situation, not thanking Him for the situation, but for our Savior. Not thanking Him for the load we have to carry, but for the Lord that we have that helps to carry this load. I can think of some of the best days that I've had, some of the days that I've been the most thankful for, and it wasn't based because of a certain place that I was at. It wasn't because of a certain thing that I was doing, but it was because of the attitude that I had. Can any of you relate to that? You might be in a terrible place and have a good, thankful attitude, and it makes a world of difference. We need to have more of the Spirit in us. We need to let the Spirit in so that we can have more good days. Sometimes we have terrible days, horrible days, bad days, stormy days, but when we are filled with the Spirit, we have that joy. Again, we go back to that natural default. We're singing, we're praying, we're giving thanks. You look out on some days where it's real stormy, or if you've ever flown in a jet and you take off and you're flying along, and then they go up and you get into some storm clouds and you get some turbulence and the plane starts rocking and the pilot says, you know, we're going into this storm, we're going to rise above it. And they go above the clouds, above the storm, and it's sunshine. It's peace and calm and sunshine. When we are filled with the Spirit, that Spirit is going to help us rise through the clouds, through the storm clouds here in this life. It's going to give us a different perspective. It's going to help us to look on things from a heavenly perspective and not an earthly perspective. Is this something miraculous? Not at all. Not at all. It's a sign, it's a manifestation. We're singing, we're praying, and we are submitting. We are submitting unto God and unto others. So with this singing, praying, and submission, we see four things. We see a command. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. If it's a command, we've got to understand how to do that. If it's something miraculous, I don't see how we are able to do that ourselves. But it's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a contrast. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a comparison. A comparison being under the Spirit shares some comparisons with being under the influence of alcohol. Just again, the contrast, the comparison of John the Baptist and on with the apostles in Acts 2. And it's a change. How do we know if we're filled with the Spirit? Certain changes will occur in our lives. We're going to be singing in our hearts. We're going to have gratitude in our hearts. And we're going to have submission in our attitudes. Now, when you look at this, and you look at a lot of Paul's writings, and the book of Ephesians is a perfect example of this. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is talking about the church. It's got six chapters. The first three deal with doctrine. The second three deal with practical daily living. The first three chapters deal with the church collectively. The next three chapters deal with the church individually. When you look at this, when you in Ephesians chapter 5, the application, this, and again, looking at the context, he doesn't just leave it here at verse 21. After he talks about, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, he tells us to be filled with the Spirit, and then he goes into the application of it. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, husbands, he deals with husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her. He talks about being filled with the Spirit in the home between husbands and wives. He doesn't stop there. You keep going into chapter 6, and he talks about being filled with the Spirit with parents and children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. He talks about parents. He doesn't stop with that. Then he goes on to talk about masters and servants in verse 5. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, where there is no partiality with him. So when we are filled with the Spirit, we have this attitude, this mindset, this lifestyle. We're singing, we're praying, we're submitting to one another. And then this is the practical daily part of where it's carried out in our lives. And again, we should be able to we are able to recognize someone that's under the influence of alcohol in the world. It's easy to spot, and it should be easy to spot in our lives if we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then you get down to chapter 6, and finally, he starts in 6:10, finally, my brethren, take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. It's all tying back in to the Spirit in chapter 5. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It all fits together. It's these three gauges are part of our personality, and we've got to, when I asked earlier, are you filled with the Spirit, or are you running on empty? All of us here, I would say, with the exception of one person, remembers back in the day when you'd pull into a service station. They were called service stations instead of gas stations, and you'd run over that hose and you'd hear that bell ring, and the person would come out. And if you were driving or your parents are driving, they'd say, fill her up or give me so many dollars worth. We'd want our tank filled up. How about with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit, or are you running on empty? How much do we have? And to some extent, it's visible. It's easy to see in others. And I think one of the problems that we have in the Lord's church, people, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, some of our denominational friends, they have the wrong view, and they are so excited and exaggerated and over the top in the way they act that we have backed off and don't want to appear to be like they are. And in doing that, we are not letting the Spirit shine. We are not letting our light shine as we ought to. Are you filled with the Spirit? Again, he says, don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Singing, praying, submitting to one another, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is a visible manifestation of being filled with the Spirit, letting the Spirit direct our lives. And when we think of this, again, back to our attitude, what we think of ourselves, what we think of others, sometimes we place a low emphasis on our self-worth, and everybody's different, but some just, they don't see the Holy Spirit living in them. We've got to understand, we've got to go to God's Word to understand how things work instead of just listening to what somebody else says. But sometimes, back to the manifestation, you see some Christians that just look so down, like they are so depressed, like there is nothing good in their life, like they're stuck in the mud. And if we are children of the King, we have God as our Father, we have Christ reigning on the throne, He wants our heart to be the throne, He wants us to have the Spirit filled in Him, we need to manifest that. We need to manifest that. Let's go to another section now in Galatians. Just turn back a page or two in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. And I'll start reading at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So here we have another section talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And back to 16, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The works, verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. It's evident, it's visible if we are filled with the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when he's talking about fruit, this is an interesting illustration that's used over and over in the New Testament. And you think just for a minute, if you drive by an orchard, and maybe a person has an orchard and he has some trees and he didn't have a good crop, and he takes some artificial fruit, some wax fruit with little hangers, and he hangs them on the tree, and you drive by and going by 50 miles an hour, it might look like he's got fruit there. But you examine it a little closer and you say, this isn't real. This is artificial. And you can't fool somebody with fake fruit. You can't fool somebody with fake fruit of the Spirit. It's natural. It comes from our heart. It comes from within. Galatians 5 is talking about walking with Jesus by means of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, I say, walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is another really good passage, easy to understand. Galatians 5, being living by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. And when we do that, we are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, one of the things, another thing to get from this passage, two main points. The first one is, we are to minimize our faults. We are to minimize our faults. And that's verses 16 through 21. Those works of the flesh, we must minimize them. We must eliminate them. We must get them out of our life. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident. We've got to get rid of those. We've got to get rid of those. We minimize, we eliminate, we get rid of those. And then once we get rid of that, what do? We maximize our fruits. Verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When we live by the Spirit, we'll begin to develop these nine attitudes. And again, you want to have a good day, you got to have a good attitude. You want to have a good attitude, you got to understand your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with sin, with Satan. We've got to produce these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. You stop and think, if I were to say, take out a piece of paper and write down the traits of Jesus, what would come to your mind? What would you have to stop and think, and boy, I don't know what he was like. Right here is the personality of Christ. Right here is the personality traits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you see, is that was how Christ was, and for us to be Christians, Christ-like, we must have that nature, that character also. These are nine words that describe the fruit of the Spirit. These are nine words that describe Christ. These are nine words that should describe each and every one of us here. If they don't describe us, we need to get busy working to put these in our life. So we need to minimize the bad things. We need to eliminate the works of the flesh. Then we need to maximize our fruits. And again, this concept of fruit is throughout the Bible. Psalm 1 says that when we meditate on Scripture, we're like fruit trees planted by the rivers of water. We're like a tree that's planted by water, where the roots will get a source of nourishment. It'll grow, it'll leaf out, it'll bear fruit. The writer of Psalm 52 compared himself to an olive tree in the house of God. The olive trees were very important. They produced olive oil that they used in the lamps. Psalm 92 likens us to trees that still bear fruit in an old age, who stay fresh and green. You know, there are a lot of things that I can't do at the age I am now that I could do when I was 20. And I went through a period where that bothered me a little bit, but it doesn't bother me anymore because as we read about in the scriptures, you know, our body is wearing down as we get older. But if we are in God's word, our spirit is going to be renewed and we're going to get stronger day by day in our spirit. And so like Psalm 92, where we are likened to trees that still bear fruit in old age, who stay fresh and green. Jeremiah 17 says that when we trust in the Lord, we're like trees planted by the water, the leaves of which are always green, even in drought times. Galatians 5 here talks about this fruit. Again, love, this is first on the list, maybe because it sums up all the others. It's the fountainhead of all the rest. Joy, it's something we convey to others. It lights up our life. It lifts our hearts. You can see that in a child when they're joyful. You can see that in people when they're singing. They're full of joy. Peace. And again, peace isn't the absence of a storm, but it's calmness in the midst of a storm. Doesn't matter what's going on out in the world, we can have peace of mind, peace of heart. Patience. There's two kinds of patience. There's patience with circumstances, and there's patience with people. And we need to learn both of them. We might be stuck in traffic. We might be stuck in traffic for hours, can't move. We need to learn patience. We might be dealing with a contrary person. We need to learn patience. And one of the things that helped me learn patience over the years, when I would always want somebody to change right now, I would just think of how patient God has been with me all of my life. You know, he's been working on me a long time. And he's been very patient, and we, again, should be patient toward others. Kindness, this is the practical side of the first quality on the list of love. Love expresses itself in countless ways, large and small, but it's just showing kindness. Common courtesy, kindness, goodness, this word's used in a moral sense, morally sound. It's the practical side of holiness. Faith, gentleness. We need to be strong of spirit, yet warm and friendly in our dealings with others. Self-control, that's like what holds everything together. It's like the knot on the end of a rope, or if you have a necklace, and it's something that you have a bunch of pearls on a string or something, and it's going to hold it all together. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Friends, we've got to be in Christ. I want to go back to John 15 for just a minute. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. What fruit are we to bear? There's nine listed right here. And if we bear it, what's he going to do? He's going to prune us so we'll bear more. Is that pruning fun? I don't like it. I don't like it when I get pruned, but I know it's for my good. And again, we have to abide. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. We can't bear this fruit if we aren't in Christ, if we aren't following in Christ. And he talks about bearing fruit and more fruit and much fruit. And friends, that's the sum total of being a Christian, of being filled with the Spirit. I'll ask the question one more time. Are you running on empty, or are you filled with the Spirit? Hopefully, as we learn these verses over this year, it will help us to have them in our mind and not just on the tip of our tongues, but as we manifest them to others, help us to be more Christ-like, help us to be a fruitful vine on the branch, and that we may give honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. Friends, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of talking about it. We don't need to be afraid of our denominational friends that we might offend them, because we've got God's Word. And again, you look at Ephesians 5 and 6, and it is just so plain and logical. It's hard to misunderstand it. Some people still misunderstand things, though. Some people think they can go to heaven by not doing anything. It's not going to happen. We have to be obedient to God. We have to be baptized. We have to repent of our sins, confess Christ as our Savior, be baptized that our sins might be washed away, and live faithfully. When we're doing that, we might sin, we might stumble, we might need the prayers of others. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.